Here, to turn with me, please, to the Epistle to the Hebrews, this time in chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and at verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, what whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let me read the revised version. Let marriage be held in honour, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, had the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their manner of life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gates. His own blood in contrast to the blood of animals. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit to yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I won't take the time to cover ground that we considered last night, other than to say that you will remember that we endeavoured to show from chapter 10 that the Holy Spirit has opened up to us the theme of each of these chapters 11, 12 and 13 by stressing the main issue involved in each of these chapters, such as faith in chapter 11 and hope in chapter 12, and now it's love in chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. And that runs through several of these verses, and then we'll pick up other teaching that this very illuminating and very fascinating chapter presents to us. I suggest to you it has a threefold division. There are three simple paragraphs in it. From verse 1 to verse 16, we are caused to think about pastoral exhortations. And we shall look at six of these tonight. Be loving, be pure, be content, be loyal, be bold, be worshipful. These are the pastoral exhortations he makes, and we want to apply them to our lives and our ways tonight. And then from 17 to 21, he gives us practical injunctions. Just look at 17, please. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. Verse 18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience. And there are several other items there that of practical injunctions. And then from 22 to 25 that we shall read now, we have parting salutations. He ends his chapter, his epistle, in a very delightful manner. We'll look at 22 now, please. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Isn't that a nice way to end any letter you might write? So this writer does it in a very wonderful way. First of all then, practical exhortations. This chapter, along with many other verses in this great epistle, bear all the marks of pastoral care and concern and compassion. This writer, whoever he was, has a very throbbing and deep regard and concern for these people to whom he's writing. He thinks of their past circumstances and what they had to endure. He considers their present tendencies. And so he packs into his epistle exhortations punctuated throughout this epistle are wonderful pastoral encouragements and exhortations. Don't you feel the need to be encouraged in your life? I believe that is our greatest need in 1994. If ever we needed encouragement to pursue the path of faith and love and loyalty to our Lord Jesus, it's today. We need encouragement. And that's what this epistle profoundly affords. These believers were under great pressure and persecution, and they were in danger of giving up their belief and their Christianity. They were being pressured to go back to the ease and comfort of Judaism that was unaffected by the persecution at that time. But these believers who had come out to the Lord Jesus outside the camp in identification with him and his name, for them it was hostility and persecution. Listen to these words. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured the great conflict of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on me and my bonds, and listen to this, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. How would you react if you had your home plundered and all your goods taken away and your name was ridiculed in the streets and you come under great hostility and persecution? How would we react to all that, fellow believers? I'll tell you something. If you left this comfortable hall tonight and started to make your way home, and when you got there, you discovered that your home had been ransacked and all your goods and valuables and your antiques were all taken away, what would you do? You would do two things. Number one, you would ring the police. Number two, you would see your insurers in the morning, insurance agents. Okay. Now don't worry, I would do the same. We're thankful that we do have the protection of the authorities. But remember, fellow believers, it may not always be like that. And remember, for these believers that we are considering tonight, for them, they suffered the loss of all their earthly possessions. And their homes were utterly plundered and devastated. And they had nowhere to live. And listen to what it says. They took joyfully the spoiling of all their goods. Why did they do that? I mean, what enabled them to do that? Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Would you feel like that tonight? If everything was taken from you, and you said, oh, that's all right, I've got in heaven an enduring substance. Or is heaven for us just a nice place to be going to when we die? Is that what we think about heaven? Just a lovely prospect that after we're through with this life and we've taken out of it all we wanted to take out of it, then we're going home. Well, thank God we are going home. But I think we should be more interested in what is spiritual and eternal than what is temporary and material. I think that's what this exhortation is saying to us. These verses remind us that they were physically assaulted. And the great temptation for them was this, threefold. Number one, give it up. Just give up your confession and your Christianity. Give it all away. Have you ever been tempted to give up? You say, oh, not me. I've always been strong and steadfast and devoted. I've never flinched from the pathway. Is that true? Is that really true? Haven't we been tempted sometime or another to yield in relation to our spiritual life and our confession of Christ? And so this writer, when he knew that, he had a word of encouragement for them. And this is what he said, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Chapter 10, and dear brother and sister, let me say to you tonight, Don't cast away your confidence in God. Don't cast it away. You older believers tonight, don't give up. Don't cast away your confidence. Number two, they were being tempted to shrink back. Go back to what they once were and not to be troubled with this persecution and all this isolation and all this hostility and just live a nice, easy life and nobody will bother you. And this writer, knowing that there was a temptation to shrink back, listen to what he wrote. If anyone draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving or the preservation of our souls. Wasn't that a powerful exhortation and encouragement? Not to shrink back. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was down here? He began to unfold to them in John chapter 6 about the fact that their fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. But he said, I am the true bread that came down from heaven, that if a man eat of me, he shall live forever. And the Lord is applying it to his hearers that day. And he says, go in for an appropriation of me and leave everything else aside. And this is what we read. And many of them who were professed followers of the Lord Jesus, listen to what it says. And with many of them, they went back and they walked no more with him. Do you know there are many going back today? You know that, don't you? There are people going by. Have you ever felt like going by? And so the Lord turns to his own band of disciples and he looks at them and he says to them, and you, this is how it reads in the original, literally, and you, what about you? What will you do? Are you going to go away and leave me? And Peter rose to his full height and he said, Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Isn't that a beautiful answer Peter gave the Lord that day? Do you know, that's how I feel tonight. I honestly in my soul tonight feel, to whom can I go? If I'm tempted to turn away from what we are enjoying today. Where am I going to go? Which source? What am I going to pursue in the future? My fellow believers, don't turn away. The Lord Jesus, he has the words of eternal life. And finally, the last temptation was drop out. And so, in order to encourage them not to do that, he wrote to them in a verse that we mentioned at the conference on Saturday, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your souls. I'm sure you felt like fainting sometimes. Well, don't faint. Men ought not to faint, but to pray and faint not. And this word of exhortation is coming to us. And you older sisters and brethren who have been going on to the meetings for many years now, and your health is deteriorating, and maybe your mind, your mental powers are slipping and diminishing, and it's becoming difficult for you in many other ways. There are problems with your relatives and difficulties in the world, and you're looking at things in that kind of way, and you're beginning to feel dispirited and discouraged, and you might be tempted to drop out and let it all go. Well, don't do that. Let us look unto him and be encouraged that we might faint not. That's what we need in these days. And so the word in chapter 2, you will remember, he says, now, keep holding on to the word of God that's been given to you. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift from it. It's not what the author I says about it drifting from us. It's not the word going away from us. It's you and me going away from the word. And that's the temptation today, isn't it? My dear brethren, you local men here in this assembly, keep ministering the word. Keep bringing it before God's people. There is no substitute for the communication of the scriptures. And dear fellow believers, keep reading the word for yourselves and enjoy it in your souls. And you sisters, you do the same. Enjoy the word of God and hold on to it and believe it like our forefathers did. For there are many who are giving up the word of God today. But then I want to come to these pastoral exhortations. The first one is in verses 1 to 3, be loving. He identifies three aspects of this love. He tells us about its essential continuity. Let brotherly love continue. Now, as far as I know, this assembly here in Blue River has been maintained along scriptural lines. You are fairly sound and strong and stout and steadfast in relation to divine principles. And you want to see the assembly continuing in the right ways of God. Now that is absolutely admirable. And that's exactly what we want to see in all the assemblies with which we are associated. But I'll tell you something. This assembly will survive and continue not only because of its adherence to Bible doctrine, but it will continue if there is true devotedness of love and heart and consideration for one another in the assembly. You can't live without that. You're going to get trouble outside and hostility outside and persecution, but within the framework of the assembly, within its fellowship, this assembly and every other assembly must take this exhortation to heart. Be loving. Let brotherly love continue. No doubt the opposition against them had brought disruptions into their community. And I don't know an assembly today, brethren, but doesn't experience disruption from time to time. We're made up that way. All of us. There is enough flesh in me to ruin and destroy the assembly with which I am associated. Now let us remember that. So we need to take this exhortation to heart. We must express our love in practical concern for one another. You know, when we look after ourselves and we make ourselves number one, our love for others evaporates. Just disappears. Have you ever noticed that? People who are selfish and self-centered and self-interested, they have no care and no consideration for anybody else. They ensure that nothing